Hello. This is a poopcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny. So, without further ado, welcome to Greenish Mangoes. No, Ground Meat. No, Gallstone Maladies. No, Gossip Mongers. Yes, Gossip Mongers. Yes, yes, that's it. Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This story is about a bloke who I will refer to as Blez. Blez used to love himself. The biggest narcissist going, and when I was around his house, he would do nothing but stare for hours at himself in this massive fuck-off mirror that doubled as a wardrobe. And next to the mirror was a video recorder. One day he broke his stare and said, "I know the secrets to living a long, invincible life and how to look younger than I actually am." He had the leathery features of a middle-aged bloke and looked closer to 55 than his actual age of 27. This secret he believed in wasn't working. If anything, it was having the opposite effect. A few weeks later, I visited him again. He left the room for a while. I noticed connected to the TV was a VHS player and there was a tape inserted. Handwritten along the side, it read, 12th of the 5th, 2017 to the 11th of the 5th, 2017. What? Curiosity got the better of me. I pushed the tape all the way into the player. Up came a homemade recording of Blez stood wanking ferociously into a little baggie. The same kind that drug dealers use or the type you get nuts and bolts in with a flat pack furniture. The camera was facing his crotch and was placed strategically so you could see his naked ass wiggling rapidly in the large mirror. He comes, seals the bag and goes to turn the tape off. I'm sickened and confused as I go and look at the video VHS case for clues. I notice attached to the rear of it, the baggie filled with mam spaff and throw it down in horror. I decide to quickly try and solve the riddle of the dates on the tape by looking around for more clues. The wardrobe. I slung it open to reveal the answers I was looking for. Hundreds, if not thousands, of VHS tapes in order of date, each with a little baggie of jizz notes.
Fucking hell.
I looked for the date 11th of the 5th, 2017. It was there. Complete title, 11th of the 5th, 2017, using 10th of the 5th, 2017. I inserted it into the player, and once again, the same scenario burned into my eyes. I searched for the 10th of the 5th, 2017, using...
So is it banked into lots of... But why does this keep him young?
I played that same again. I repeated this process for about 10 dates and tapes, all of which contained similar footage of the same mantra. And there was one called the 2016 Special. So I inserted that into the player, and this one had a backing track of Queen's Who Wants to Live Forever and had multiple windows, all varying footage of him wanking from various angles. One of these angles revealed that he was watching footage of himself wanking. It became clear what these dates meant. Day after day, wanking to footage of himself. Wanking to footage of himself. Wanking to footage of himself. Wanking to footage of himself.
Oh, so he watches the date previous date.
That's what it means. 12th of the 5th, 2017, using 11th of the 5th.
Right. So he wanks to the previous day.
I just jumped over. What do you mean using? Oh, that's what he means. So basically
can I have a little clarification? He one day decided to video himself wanking.
Yeah.
And the following day he watches that. So he's got two video records. He's got one He's yeah. He's so, got the setup. Yeah. Is he's videoing himself for the following day? Is that right?
That's good of him.
So he gets turned on by himself wanking.
Oh, using. Fucking hell. It became clear what the dates meant. Day after day, wanking footage. Wanking to his footage. Blaise came in and caught me. So now you know the secret to living forever, my youthful looks, the infinity wank, he said.
The infinity wank.
Oh, he's out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. There's human beings like him walking the earth. You could just
hate it.
You could be shopping.
Do you know what? They might leave a bad review of one of our podcasts and it sort of slightly hurts us. And actually you go, it's fucking Blaise, cunt. Sorry. Sorry.
He basically writes a review about the podcast and then as his
And you go, oh, no, somebody doesn't like it. Well, do you know it's a bloke called Blaise who used to do this? Oh, right. Oh, whatever.
I still would like him to like the podcast.
Yeah, I would as well.
It's all the numbers game, isn't it?
Yeah.
How can we tweak it so Bez likes it, or whatever his name, Blaise?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
The infinity wank.
Yeah. Welcome to the Infinity Wank.
The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank.
Welcome to the Infinity Wank.
The Infinity Wank.
Your one-stop solution to never-ending youth and prosperity.
The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank.
Tape on. Recorder on. Wanky wanky, then pop your jizz in a little baggie. Rewind repeat. Rewind, repeat.
The Infinity Wank.
Tape on. Recorder on. Wanky, wanky, then pop your jizz in a little baggie.
The Infinity Wank.
Rewind, repeat.
The Infinity Wank.
Rewind, repeat.
The Infinity Wank. The Infinity Wank.
Rewind, repeat.
The Infinity Wank.
Welcome to the Infinity Wank.
The Infinity Wank.
Gossip number two.
This is from Mark. A former colleague of mine and now director of a popular high street retailer once regaled a few of us with a now legendary bit of goss from his early teen years. Apparently, when he was 14, there was this clapped-out ambulance that would cruise the streets of his hometown in Kent, scouring the alleyways for its next victim. The ambulance, he reckoned, was operated by a squad of red-hot nurses. They would drive around after dark and beckon teenage boys into the back of their weird rescue wagon. Like all fucking urban sirens. Anyway, the story goes that a kid in his school saw the ambulance one evening and was so helpless against the nurse's seductive song, he couldn't help but blindly shuffle into the back of it. Once inside, the nurses wanked into... Oh, fuck off.
Got enjoying that one.
Really?
I like that there's some sexy nurses driving around the county.
Driving around Chatham looking for toothy teenagers.
It's like the Scooby-Doo of fucking hell.
Hot Scooby-Doo van goes around.
Oh, that's funny. They're all dressed like...
I can't imagine one teenager in Kent you'd want to pull into the back of your ambulance and bonk. I mean, I was one of those teenagers at one point.
Chatham's naughty, naughty nurses and their saucy ambulance adventure van. Naughty, saucy nurses
and their saucy ambulance adventure van.
Driving around the town in search of some saucy fun. A tall, bloody story that's undoubtedly going to end up with them noshing off some lucky teenage boy. Naughty, lucky, saucy, lucky nurses. Unsuspecting teenage boy. Naughty, lucky, saucy, lucky nurses. Unsuspecting teenage
boy. Chatham's naughty, naughty nurses.
Gossip number three.
Hi, I should be writing my wedding speech. I thought I'd share this with you instead.
Cheers.
My name is Josh, and I used to live in Stevenage with my two sisters, mum and dad. One Saturday in my early years, after a morning of watching Live and Kicking on telly with my sisters, we were building Lego structures together in my sister's room. My oldest sister caught a glimpse out the window of a lanky fellow walking towards the local corner shops. With excitement, she shouted, "Check out this guy's walk!" Me and my other sister shot up from the floor, looked out the window to witness the lanky man jerking his head and neck back and forth, accompanied by him flicking his legs behind him. This sparked our joint imagination and prompted us to name him the Chicken Man. Amazed at our discovery, we wrote a song about him, and it goes like this. Have you seen the Chicken Man? The Chicken Man, the Chicken Man. Have you seen the Chicken Man who lives on Modsbury Way?
All right. It's tickled you, isn't it?
It's that last bit of the road he lives on. And that's that. Safe to say,
we never
We never saw the Chicken Man ever again. Song has stuck with me over the last 20 years.
And it's going to stick with David as well, I think.
Thought I'd share something other than a poo story or something silly. Okay, you don't have to go on. James, can you put a drum beat under this and some keyboard?
You're going to sing again?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Have you seen the Chicken Man, the Chicken Man, the Chicken Man? Have you seen the Chicken Man who lives on Mobsbury Way? Have you seen the Chicken Man, the Chicken Man, the Chicken Man? Have you seen the Chicken Man who lives on Mobsbury Way? Have
you seen the Chicken Man? I'm sure it deserves a drum beat, if I'm wrong.
The Chicken Man, have you seen the Chicken Man?
No one's seen him. Never seen again. So this right, okay, so okay, so he's walking along flicking his legs backwards. Never known he had a like, do you know what's weird about that? He didn't know he had a song written about it. Imagine you went to a shop a couple of days ago and they said,
Have you seen the 16 stone man?
Look at his arse.
Look at his arse.
From Marlborough Street. On Marlborough Street. Then 25 years later, it's been spoken about on a shitty podcast.
Okay.
Sort of enjoying how much you're enjoying it.
I do like his legs for kicking out.
Yeah, I don't think I've started imagining it now and how I'd feel if I'm looking out my window and someone was flicking their head and legs back. I think I'd point it out to him.
Lanky man jerking his head and neck. I'm slightly concerned he's...
Yeah, is he all right?
Yeah.
I think he died years ago, to be fair.
Fucking hell, I'm going to look up Mobsbury Way. Mobsbury Way.
Mobsbury Way in Stevenage.
Stevenage, Jesus Christ.
I hope someone who's listening lives on that street and it's freaking them out.
Mobsbury, there we go, Mobsbury Way.
Right.
Let's right move some houses.
If you live on there, have you ever seen... If you live on that road and you've seen the Chicken Man, this is the fucking maddest moment of your life, isn't it?
Bloody hell. Anyway.
What are the house prices on Mobsbury Way?
About 350, sort of three-bed semis. Was he going to a corner shop?
How the fuck do I know?
Oh, I thought they said it in a... God, that road. I don't know who you are, mate, but your road looks well bland.
Yeah, I thought it quite looked like the road I grew up on.
Yeah, and yeah, no, we've all lived on them, but fuck me. Soulless.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine you've got a mile and a half walk home down Mobsbury Way every day.
Looking like a fucking chicken.
All you're hoping for is to bump into the Chicken Man.
Jesus Christ, it's long. I've just Google street mapped all the way to the end. It's taken 30 seconds.
I'm walking down it on Google Maps.
Yeah, I am. But it just takes ages. Oh, thank you for that email. Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was walking towards the local corner shop. Sorry, I'm going. Sorry, I'm going back. Oh, right. So he's heading to there. Basically, a Domino's, hairdressers, not a co-op.
I found the shops, little rough shops, didn't they?
Yeah, Amri Hair Studio.
If you fancy living there, houses are about $350.
Just a bloody chicken man who lives on Mobsbury Way.
Just a bloody chicken man.
Strutting about like a fucking chicken, goddammit. Up and down the street. Up and down the street. Up and down the street. The bloody chicken man. Up and down Mobsbury Way. That cheeky little chicken man. Hope he's all okay. Gossip number 4.
Okay, this is from Rose. Hi, Gossipmongers. Basically, my neighbour Sarah got a spy camera kit for her 9th birthday, so our first use of it was to set it up in her bathroom when lots of family friends were around.
A spy camera kit?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little black box and then a remote control viewing screen so you could watch the footage live. Fucking hell. Those things exist. Anyway, I spent a little while watching our various siblings and parents use the toilet while we laughed from the neighbouring bedroom. But eventually I decided it was all getting a bit weird, so I packed it in. I went downstairs to sit with my mum. Later, all the other kids emerged with an unbelievable tale. Jacob, a friend of the host's youngest son, went to the bathroom and did his business like a normal person. Then he stripped off naked and stood on the top of the toilet lid for a couple of minutes, silently. He just stood on the toilet mute.
How old was he?
If he's a similar age, about 9, I think. Jacob was Thai. So this sparked a rumour that that Thai people just do that, which we all accepted.
What, put the lid down and stand on the toilet?
Oh, Thai people. Looking back, I think it's all a bit fucking weird. Yours, Rose. He took all his clothes off and stood on the top of the toilet.
He must have done something else other than that, not like rigid.
No, he just stood there silently.
No.
He had a poo, like a normal person, and then he took all his clothes off.
Put the lid down. fucking hell, Spouse.
What a great way to live.
That was good.
Thank you, Rose.
Do a big old shit, strip naked, then stand in silence. Bolt upright on the toilet seat for several minutes. Nothing wrong with that, nothing whatsoever. Perfectly sane. Completely normal behavior for a 9-year-old boy from Thailand. Perfectly sane. End of part 111. Part 2 time, more juicy gossip, please. Gossip number 5.
This is from Rick. Hi. Growing up in a somewhat financially challenged household, my father would often depend on his talents as a craftsman to make our presents. For my birthday one year, my father built a model railway, complete with a small village, handmade sponge trees and a flannel field hillside, which housed a long tunnel, all painstakingly cut by hand from whatever bits of cardboard and plywood he could get his hands on. The track and the trains had belonged to him as a child, and some were his late father's, so all in all, an incredibly sentimental present. The model itself was built using an old wooden door as a base. My father created an ingenious system where it could fold up and mount the wall when not in use. Over the years, we added to the model, creating more detail and introducing new painted figures. This was a rare shared experience with my father, who worked long hours and spent most of his free time fixing our dilapidated house. Following the transition to senior school, having an 8-foot train set suddenly wasn't deemed the height of cool, and in a bid to elevate himself amongst the rank of Year 7 hyenas, a close friend, I'll call him Simon, from my previous school, turned cunt and took it upon himself to publicly shame me for having such a nerdy wall awning. And so began my descent into several miserable years of constant harassment as the school's newly established underdog. Last year, Simon tracked me down on social media, saying how pleased he was to have found me. "I always remember your train set," he was quick to proclaim. "I was so jealous. My father would never have done anything like that for me. My son is 5 and adores trains. If I could give him one thing on this planet, it would be the thing I wanted most growing up. Would you ever consider selling it? Name your price."
Is that the bloke who bullied her?
Bullied him. My response was short and to the point. "I'm afraid I destroyed that coveted train set with a cricket bat after you humiliated me for the 100th time for its existence. I went home from school and smashed it to bits and broke my father's heart in the process. If you want to give your son the thing you never had, how about you start by giving him a moral compass, you epic thunder cunt." Now, this is the part where I reveal I never did destroy it. In fact, the entire train set was destroyed in an electrical fire caused by me placing a live snail on the electrically charged tracks. But, you know, Simon didn't need to know that. Let the cunt squirm. That's fantastic.
What a heartwarming tale. The sweet, sweet revenge of our lovely little model railway boy, now all grown up. "No, no, no, Simon, you're not having my train set. Fuck you, Simon, you fucking stupid thunder cunt. No, 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 Simon, you're not having my train set. No, 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 Simon, you fucking stupid thunder cunt. No, 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 Simon, thunder cunt. No, 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 Simon, thunder cunt. Bully boy Simon, the epically thunderous cunt." Gossip number 6.
This is from Phil near Cov. "Hi, I'm going to tell you a story now. This isn't a rumour. I was there. This really happened, and listening to you the other day reminded me of this event, and I literally pissed myself in the shower thinking about it. This happened in about 1979 or 1980. I was the son of a soldier, and we lived on an army camp in the Midlands. The camp in question is not in a town or such like. It's in the country, at least 4 or 5 miles from the nearest town. One balmy summer weekend, about a dozen of us, girls and boys aged between 14 and 16, decided to head out to a small body of water we used to call the Blue Lagoon. It was in an old disused quarry, but the water was clear and cold and just what we needed on this hot day. It was about a 3-mile walk, so off we set. Once we got there, we crack open the tins of beer and the majority of us stripped off like we always did and went skinny dipping. Now this is the time for me to introduce you to one of the lads who came along with us as he always did. His name was Paul. He later became known as Stick Dick Paul.
We called him this because, unfortunately for him, he was 15 but still had the dick of a baby.
Oh, dear.
There is no exaggeration in this description. His dick was about 1.5 cm long and thinner than my little finger. Over the years, he had learned to put up with the piss-taking and was over it by now, so like most of the others, he stripped off and went for a dippy. An hour or so went by, swimming, drinking and generally fucking around, then about four of the lads decided to climb up into a small bunch of trees that overhung one part of the lagoon. Stick Dick Paul was one of those lads. There was an agreement that they all jump on three, so after three, the four of them jumped. And there was that second or so of quiet as they all went under, and the heads started popping up with squeals of laughter from three of them, but a blood-curdling, incredibly high-pitched scream from the other one. Yes, it was Stick Dick Paul. He was screaming like I've never heard anyone scream before, only stopping to draw breath so he could carry on screaming. He started to thrash and kind of doggy paddle towards the bank, still screaming for all his worth. The other three lads who had made the jump from the trees with him started towards him with proper concern on their faces. Then they suddenly stopped and their faces of concern turned to faces of disgust and horror as they started to back paddle away from him as fast as their arms would let them. It was at this point that some people on the bank were starting to make what can only be described as what the fuck kind of noises. As I looked at Stick Dick Paul, who by the way is still screaming his fucking head off and getting ever closer to us, I noticed a trail following him in the water. It was sort of burgundy come brown, red kind of colour. Stick Dick Paul got to the point where he could have stood up, but instead, still screaming like a fucking banshee, he just stayed on his stomach, dragging himself
to... This is probably the most harrowing day of his life.
Dragging himself towards us with his hands, his legs straight out behind him.
Jesus Christ.
But strangely very wide apart. People
strangely
ran...
very wide apart. People I think we know forward... what happened.
People ran forward to help him. They took him under the arms and began to pull him out of the water, his legs still wide and dragging.
Still wide apart.
And him making no effort to stand at all, but still screaming. As he breached the surface of the water, we all saw it. There was a stick poking out of his arsehole. And it was bleeding a lot with remnants of shit. The stick, which had obviously been sitting at the bottom of the lagoon, was showing about 9-10 inches outside of his arse. Was probably just a little bit thinner than your average brush handle. It was not the kind of thing you would choose to have rammed up there unless you were used to being fucked in prison by Big Bill the Beater.
What?
Once
all right,
Stick
let's
Dick...
not get creative. Get with a bloody story.
Once Stick Dick Paul was on the grass, lying stomach down and slightly more comfortable now if he didn't move, he begged people to try and carefully pull it out. I distinctly remember the line, "Go fucking easy." It feels like it's reached my belly button area. As is the case, none of the lads were man enough to do this, so a couple of the girls stepped up and gently pulled his blood and shit-covered cheeks apart to try and ascertain how far the stick might be up there. They could see no end in there. It had gone in a long way. They started to do their best to try and remove the stick, but the immediate screams of pain made it obvious that this was not a good idea. Stick Dick Paul then told us to try to get him up by levering him up whilst his legs stay straight with feet on the ground.
The funny bit is the logistics of this.
Yeah, it is. And him ordering them around. Left a bit, left a bit. The two tallest lads, Ian and Tom, did this, and he seemed to be able to cope as long as he didn't have to... As long as he didn't have to bend his legs in any way, as this was moving something inside him, which was like a twig or an acorn. which was causing him agony. Because the two lads had picked him up were taller, luckily by about a foot, they could lift him off the floor so he could leave his legs dangling straight and cope with the pain. Just to let you know, there's about five massive paragons left.
I need a break.
Oh, really? Oh, the image of that big stick, jagged stick out of his ass.
Has he made an eight paragraph story about a stick going up a kid's arse?
Bearing in mind we were a good 3 miles from the nearest building that might have had a phone in it, it was decided that Rick, who ran marathons for our school, so was fit as fuck. No one runs marathons for schools. We'd start running back to the army camp to get the army medics and ambulance out to stick Dick Paul.
Just call him Paul.
The two carriers, along with the rest of us, would start to make our way slowly with Stick Dick Paul being carried towards the camp in the hope of shortening the time it would take for the ambulance to get to us because the bleeding was really quite bad.
Sorry.
And he didn't look well at all. Also, he was going to have to go naked as there was no way he could get trousers or pants on. When we tried to wrap a T-shirt around his bottom half, it snagged the stick and he screamed again. Rick set off like the wind and we started to head out of the quarry. We eventually got out the gate of the quarry and got onto the B road that took us towards the army camp. The going was slow and tentative.
The choice of details is baffling.
The going was slow and tentative, as you can imagine. There was still a lot of loud screams, yells, and worryingly, still a lot of blood being left behind us. I remember at one point we were walking with Stick Dick Paul. I reckon he needs another nickname. Surely, fucking...
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's massive stick up his arse, Paul. Might have died because a stick went up his arse, Paul.
His dick must have been tiny.
To still be his nickname after that.
I remember at one point we were walking with Stick Dick Paul dangling from Ian and Tom, who had their shoulders under his pits, keeping him well off the floor. And I caught the shadow that was being cast by Stick Dick Paul's dangling body and realised the shadow of the stick pointing down out of his arse looked like a massive cock. And thought to myself, you really are Stick Dick now. Then we...
Oh, lovely little dovetail.
Then we heard a car coming from behind us. Those that needed to move closer into the verge, so the car had the room to be. It needed to pass. As I looked back at the car coming from behind us, I saw it slow down, ready to pass us safely, and it went past. And as it did, I looked in the car, and there were four blokes, probably about 20 years of age, all of who were looking out in pure disbelief. The car rounded the corner that we were about to enter when I heard the whiny sound you get when a car's gearbox has been put into reverse and it started coming backwards at a fair old speed. It came whining back round the corner towards us in reverse, three of the blokes inside hanging out the windows jeering at what they'd just seen. The driver, being young and inexperienced, got the reversing around the bend a little bit wrong and the car was reversing towards the edge of the road where we were. I saw the brake lights come on as the driver realised he'd got it wrong, but Ian and Tom, I'm guessing, didn't see the brake lights. Fucking hell. They let go of Stick Dick Paul, jumped out the way like a pair of stuntmen, and Stick Dick Paul hit the floor. The car came to a stop, and there was a second of silence before the scream came that put all the previous screams to utter shame. It was so high... Bats would have answered it. But it was so loud, my ears hurt so much I thought they might actually break, and people rushed over to see what happened when Stick Dick Paul had been dropped by Ian and Tom, who were naturally saving their own lives. It hit down on the stick. And we look, and I kid you not, there were 3 fucking inches of the stick left showing. thought of how much of that stick had gone up his arse made me gag. The incessant screaming coming from Stick Dick Paul was making me gag harder. Just knowing the pain
this
he must have
been
in.
This isn't about you, mate.
Who's it about?
Yeah. By the way, I was gagging. It was so unpleasant.
It was at that moment the sirens and the army ambulance came round the corner and came to a screeching halt. The medics did their thing. They got him into the ambulance after giving him the kind of pain relief that just about knocks you out, and off they went. Sirens wailing, taking him to hospital. Four lads in the car eventually stopped laughing and pointing, which they'd been doing throughout all of this since they got out of their car and drove off. We were left to trudge our way back to the camp, slightly numb, slightly unnerved, slightly changed forever from this incident. On the positive side, it was decided before we got back to the camp that since Stick Dick Paul had now actually been a man on a stick, pardon, and in our opinions, this was probably now more noteworthy than having a baby's dick, he would from that day forth no longer be called Stick Dick Paul. He would now be called Stick Man Paul.
Wow, lovely stuff.
He had the stick removed, no major injuries, and all's well that ends well. I hope you and your listeners enjoyed this tale from my childhood, and I hope you'll now always remember that well-known saying, look before you leap. Phil from Cov, near Cov. Oh, fuck yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Good fun, that. Bloody hell.
Stick Dick Paul. Stick Dick Paul. Stick Dick Paul. Sticky Dicky Paul.
Sticky Dicky Paul.
Stick Dick Paul. Stick Dick Paul. Stick up his body hole.
Sticky Dicky Paul.
Right up his a-hole. Boy, that's really gotta hurt some. Stick Dick Paul. Further and further and further, up it goes.
Sticky Dicky.
Right into Paul's rear entrance. Skewered like a bloody kebab. Stick Dick Paul. Gossip number 7.
This is from Rick. This all happened at the pub. Me and a friend were having a pint when a guy on the next table who was listening to drum and bass really loudly through his earphones kept shouting, "What?" as if we'd asked him a question. Then returned to his drum and bass. After about the third or fourth, "What?" we somehow got stuck in a conversation with him. He then began to tell us he loves the older ladies, not just older, old as in grandmas, bloody loves them. He's had everyone's nan at least twice, he says. He then started bragging about he's the best bin man you'll ever see. He's so good he's looking at a promotion to the black bins cashback. Halfway through telling us all this, he stopped in his tracks, gasped and said she'd fucking get it, and staggered over to a nearby pensioner.
Going in, times are hard.
What?
Fucking hell. I can picture the pub he's in.
How fucking desperate are we to stick that
I'm happy
in?
With it.
Bin man in a pub.
Bin man in a pub. Bin man in a pub. Bin man in a pub.
Well, I don't care what you bloody think. As far as I'm concerned, that's a perfectly decent bit of gossip to finish the show on. Bin man in a pub. Your classic boost cannon. Who likes nothing more than a few bevvies listening to some slamming drum and bass, followed by a bit of How's Your Father with some geriatric slapper. Short but sweet.
Short but sweet.
Can't say fairer than that. Ta-ta for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod. Hope you're enjoying it. But just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do. And you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs. We post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.